Hello and welcome to the Amongst Romans podcast, your window to everything Italy from an outsider's perspective. Join us each week as we navigate the Italian way of life and all the adventures that come along with it. So I was reading this article recently about the new show Ripley and the effect it might have on the local town that it's filmed in on the Amalfi Coast. So I thought it would be a good idea to do an episode today on the Amalfi Coast and maybe talk about, you know, the perception that people get by watching movies and shows about the location and what it actually looks like in reality. We started watching Ripley and we've covered the part where they are in the Amalfi Coast. So I thought, let's dive into that.
Yeah, I found it pretty interesting how they filmed the show. You know, it seems very cinematic, I guess you could say it. Black and white. And I noticed that it feels kind of barren, like a lot of the scenes. You don't see a lot of local people walking around, which is kind of odd to see when you're used to the crowds of the Amalfi Coast.
I think originally, remember I said to you, I don't think I'm going to like it in black and white. I don't think it's going to make it look as good. But actually, I think it does a really good job of creating this longing and this sort of romantic perception of the Amalfi Coast. And I agree with you. It's a bit strange. There's like nobody around, even in town that they're staying in. And even when they go to Naples, there's barely anyone there. And it almost has this dark undertone, the whole show, the way it's filmed. I guess that's a choice, right, from the actual producer. And I think it works quite effectively because you see the very few locals, whether in the town or on that bus that goes from Naples to Atriani, and there are not a lot of people there. And everybody has sort of this dark look on their face, like they just hate life and very kind of black and white, just as the show is filmed in, right? Everybody's sort of unhappy and everybody sort of looks down. And the place itself is almost empty except for those three Americans that happen to be there. I think it's very effective in making the place look like very appealing.
Yeah, I think it works for the show. You know, the black and white and a lot of the scenes are, I guess, stylized for that type of show. But I still find it really odd that they would have it so barren in many of the scenes. You know, it's not something I'm used to.
I think another reason why it also looks good is because of the setting itself. So not just the town, which it's gorgeous. And when you see it in person and color, it looks fabulous. But I think it's also the villa, right? So you have the furnishings, you have these, they're not quite opulent, but they are sort of large and appealing, the villa with the terrace and the sea. It's very interesting. Again, the way it's filmed, I think it sort of adds to the mysterious and creepy element to it, which for me, I think it works well. Now, people think, the people from the article that we mentioned earlier, it talks about how people from Atriani are now bracing themselves for all these people coming to Atriani because of the show. Do you think that we will attract people?
I think, you know, these type of shows, especially when they're very popular, they're definitely bound to attract a lot of tourists to those areas. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a bit of a problem for them. I would say they're going to be bracing themselves for a huge influx of tourists.
Yeah, and I can see someone sitting at home right now watching the show and trying to picture themselves, you know, coming here and walking along those same streets as the characters do and sort of living out that fantasy. But I think the reality is quite different, right? Because we were in Atriani, we had drinks there, and it's a very lovely town. I think it's very cute, but it's very small. I think there's about 800 people that live there right now. So just imagine all the people that come in the summertime and go to the Amalfi Coast and how busy it is already. So now extra people coming and extra people visiting, I think that's going to be interesting to see. So anyway, we talked about the impact of the show, but it's actually not the only show that's kind of filmed there, but I think it's the first show in a while that's being used as an example of a cinematic piece that is going to attract people, right? There were a lot of movies back in the 50s, 60s, 70s that were filmed in the Amalfi Coast. There were also some more recent ones, but none of them have had the same effect, right? So I thought we can maybe just look at some of the movies that we saw and what we think our perception of the movie versus reality is.
Yeah, we'll start with one of my favorite movie series with Denzel Washington, the Equalizer series. And the third one, the last one that they came out with, is actually, you know, mainly filmed in the Amalfi Coast area. So you have Minori, Atrani, Maiori, I think Ravello's even in there. And, you know, their visits to the Naples area. So that's actually in the forefront of the movie. And then you see a lot of interaction with locals and such. So I think it's a little more realistic, I guess, day-to-day environment for them, or for seeing those scenes. So that's one of my recommendations if you want to have a look and see how it really is day-to-day, even in, you know, on off season.
I think that movie in particular was interesting because it's set in a fictional town. So he comes to this town, and even more so, I think, is not necessarily realistic because, again, there are not as many tourists. I understand he's in a fictional town, but when you look at, let's say, the beauty of, you know, where it's located, in theory, in modern day and age, there will be tourists. So I thought that was also interesting. And they had a lot of scenes that were filmed in Naples as well, and they were trying to kind of tie in as one place. So again, it plays up on the whole mafia component, which the town is being ruled by these mob guys who are just beating them up and taking advantage of them. And he gets involved in this situation. So in a way, the scenery itself is beautiful, but I think it kind of plays up on that stereotypical perception of Italy. Plus, I don't think it's really necessarily realistic because there are no tourists. And I think if you film anything in Italy and there's no tourists, that's not accurate.
Yeah, I agree. I think the what they were trying to shoot for in that movie is to make it look more like a quaint small town that they were, you know, he was situated in. Yeah, I guess it doesn't seem too realistic. People that have been to the area and been to the Amalfi Coast, because it's always packed with full of people, especially when we're driving through. There's like people on top of each other, essentially. Yeah, it doesn't seem too realistic, I guess, to people that have been there. But, you know, I guess for the movie itself, they try to make it seem like a, you know, a quaint little town that he drops into, and he tries to get along with the locals. And I think I can see where they're coming from. They couldn't really add a bunch of tourists just walking around, kind of ruining the scene. So I can see that. But yeah, it's, you know, it isn't very realistic for people that have been to the area.
Now, let's talk about the original The Talented Mr. Ripley, because that movie came out a while ago, right? And I don't think it had the same effect on people coming to Italy, especially this area. So that one, for those of you who might have not seen it, that was the one with Matt Damon, Jude Law, and Gwyneth Paltrow. Actually, Cate Blanchett was in it too. So it's a movie versus the Ripley right now is a show. So, okay, I understand you have more time to develop scenes and whatever. But when they were filming The Talented Mr. Ripley, the old version, from the 90s, they filmed it on the islands, right? So they filmed it in Positano, Ischia, and Procida, which are the two islands that not as many people go to. And those two are beautiful. So if you're looking for an alternative to Capri, I would say those two are your better option. I don't think that movie created the same sort of effect of people wanting to come, you know, to these islands, because I think maybe the scenes were shorter, so you didn't have as long of a time to be there. But it was in color, so I think it was a bit more vivid, the scenery, and the, you know, just for that alone, I think it was a bit better for people to see what this place looks like.
Yeah, I don't think they spent as much time kind of filming the backdrops on the movie itself. You would see them on the beach and walking through the streets, but you didn't really see the same type of, I guess, scenes that you would see in the show. They would actually give you full, you know, backdrop views of where they're staying and such. That's a bit different. I think, yeah, the movie's a lot more concentrated, so I don't think they spent as much time really filming, you know, the surrounding areas.
And it's interesting because I watched a trailer for The Talented Mr. Ripley, and I noticed that, you know, the scene where Tom Ripley walks up to Dickie and Marge and he's like, oh, hey. So in the show, the new show, he walks up to them and they're the only two people on the beach, right? They're just lying there on the sand. He just walks up to them. There's no one else there. In the movie with Matt Damon and Jude Law, they're on the beach. There are other people on the beach as well. So there are more like lawn chairs and tourists and whatever. So I thought that was also a different approach of how they filmed it, where in the other, I think it was a bit more realistic that they are in a popular tourist area and there are people who are also there. So that was an interesting choice.
Yeah, I think they were trying to, the show was trying to shoot for more of a barren island look for that scene compared to the movie. The movie had, you know, actual locals, I guess, running around and some bathing and jumping, you know, swimming around in the water. So it's just two different types of styles that they were shooting for in those, in between the show and the movie.
And in the show, they film mostly in Atriani, and the villa that they are in, it's actually in Capri, and they have some scenes in Naples. So it's a bit of a different take on it. You know, I think in the book, I've never read the book, but I think in the book, they're in some kind of like a fictional place. So it's not necessarily the Amalfi Coast. But having seen, you know, the show versus some of the movie that I think we should watch again, because I really don't remember it that much. Which version of Italy from like the 50s do you think is more intriguing or more interesting? The black and white version with like no one there, or the sort of more cinematic, you know, kind of what we're used to, the one from the talented Mr. Ripley?
Yeah, I think the show kind of gives you a different, you know, feel compared to the movie, because the movies, you know, those type of scenes were kind of done a bunch of times before. I guess they're shooting for more of a noir film or a noir backdrop for the show. I find it kind of interesting, although very unrealistic, like I said, but it's still enjoyable. I like the amount of time they actually spend having them, you know, kind of viewing the scenery, right? They're like standing by the balcony and just overlooking the water, and it was kind of cool seeing that, kind of concentrating on the backdrops more than the characters themselves.
Now, do you think it's also the actors that change your opinion of the show or the movie? Because I think the relationship between Jude Law's character Dickie and Matt Damon's, which is that Tom Ripley, I think theirs was a bit more engaging. They were a bit more friendly. They were sort of hanging out together. Whereas the show, the real star obviously is Tom Ripley, the character played by Andrew Scott. But I think his relationship with the actor who plays Dickie isn't the same. It's a bit of a strange relationship. And I'm wondering whether that also changes your perception of how you see the plays, and maybe that relationship is also playing up on the characters, right? So you play on the relationship, but also the way they are interacting with each other. It's a bit hard to explain if you haven't seen the show. I don't want to spoil it, but like if you watch them interact, it's very different than they were in the movie, right? So that also kind of plays into that moody kind of setting, which I think works really well. Like the more I think about it, the more I really like the show, because it does play on that nostalgia, something that, you know, perhaps we weren't around back then to see, but I think it's the sort of Italy that we all kind of dream about, you know, come and see this Italy explored for ourselves, go to like these undiscovered places where other tourists haven't really gone, right? I think it's playing on a fantasy. You're right. I think the people will be coming to Atriani, which it's probably one of the best looking towns when you look at it from the coast. It looks really great. I've always liked it. So for me, I think the show is a hit. I can't wait to see the rest of it when he goes to like the other places in Italy and how that ties into the show.
Yeah, the chemistry, I think, is quite different from between the show and the movie. You know, Andrew Scott's more, I guess he got a more of a creepy character in the Ripley TV series here. And actually, like, I actually enjoy John Flynn's role more than Jude Law's, right? Because, you know, Jude Law was kind of generic in the movie. I found John Flynn was actually a little more interesting, at least while he was around in the TV show. I think they're kind of changing it up a little bit from the movie. So, you know, people that did see the movie, you know, don't get exposed to the same thing they already saw. So I think they were shooting for a bit of a different bit of chemistry.
Yeah. And you know, a fun fact, which I just realized when I was looking at the notes for this. So Dakota Fanning plays Marge in this version in Ripley, but she was also in The Equalizer 3. Do you remember? She was in that too. She's the agent that shows up at the end or whatever. So she was in two different movies in the same location.
Yeah, that's actually pretty funny. That's probably how, why she ended up getting the role. She probably was already there doing some other work and figured, okay, well, let me try out for this role and see if I get it.
That kind of reminds me of everybody who was on that show Lost. And then anything else that's filmed in Hawaii ever since, they always kind of show up.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about another movie, which I think is the basis for a lot of people, how they imagine what going to Italy and moving to Italy looks like, right? And that's the Under the Tuscan Sun. Have you seen that movie? I think I've asked you this.
No, I don't think I've seen that movie, actually.
I think we should watch it again because I think it's very interesting. So I think it's Diane Lane. She plays like a writer and she ends up, I don't know, divorcing from her husband. It's a bad situation. So she comes to Italy, comes across this kind of decrepit villa, and she buys it on a whim. And then she decides to move there. So then she goes through these trials and tribulations of trying to update this villa. And of course, it's in Tuscany. You know, she goes through this little transformation and so on. But I think some of the elements that go in that movie, some of it is sort of like, okay, that's kind of realistic, but at the same time, not really. I think the movie itself kind of gave a lot of people this dream that, you know, you too can move to Tuscany and just drive by and find this villa. You could just walk in, hand your money over, and then the house is yours, right? Which is ridiculous. And it's very similar to that movie that Julia Roberts was in, Eat, Pray, Love, I think, where she went to Rome, somewhere else in Bali, and then everybody else was going to those places because of that book. So anyway, I think it's interesting how you see something in a movie or in a show and how that makes you go somewhere, right? Makes you go and visit a place or makes you want to live there.
I guess we should kind of discuss the fact that most times these are sets, right? It's all, you know, the filmmakers set things up beforehand. They make it look a certain way. And it's most times, about 99% of the times, it's far from reality, right? As we discussed at the Ripley Show, you'll find barren beaches, streets, and stuff like that. You know, you see very few people, and they're all locals, right? There's never any tourists walking around. So it's something that's really not realistic, right? And it's, you know, it's something you should prepare for when you actually do visit the location.
Yeah, because a lot of time it's a set, like you said. So they do different angles of the camera. They have color grading, special effects. Remember when we used to live in Toronto and behind our house, there was that hill and they would put this fake snow and it looked pretty crappy when you walked by it. But I guess for when they're filming it, they just add some more elements to it and make it look like it's full of like this beautiful fluffy snow. So it's the same thing with this thing too, where yes, Amalfi Coast is beautiful. Yes, the views are great. But when there is two cars on the road passing each other by, that's not realistic at all. They've obviously closed the road off for some time and they were filming things that you're never going to see because there's so many cars. There's always cars. There's motorcycles. There's, you know, those mopeds. There's always something going through. So what you see on the screen is never going to be the same as the reality that even when you show up on like the brightest day or the stormiest day, like whatever is in the show that you see, it's not going to look like this, right?
Yeah, I think they, I guess what they were trying to do for the Ripley TV series is, you know, make it look like a less popular tourist destination from that time period, right? Because I'm guessing Amalfi Coast wasn't that huge back in the 50s, where they based the timeline for the TV series. You know, it might have been like that at the time. So I guess maybe they were trying to get that specific type of environment for the TV show also.
I looked it up, but I think stars, like movie stars, celebrities, wealthy Europeans, they're always going there. Even like in the 50s and 60s, there was like pictures and things because they were also filming back in the 50s and 60s in Amalfi. So I just think it might have looked different. It looked very different than it does now from the perspective of the people. I think over time, because of the tourists coming there, again, being more accessible than it might have been, let's say, before the war, right? So you have more people coming, they have more hotels, they have more Airbnbs, they have more restaurants, there's more things to do for the tourists that come there. And I think by doing that, I think they also create the spaces for everybody, right? You get the overcrowding that you might not want to experience because you might be expecting to go on a beach in Atriani and have it to yourself, where that doesn't really happen, right? Especially in the summertime, you're not going to see it. There's more locals who live in a town. They walk around. You see them in town. It's not like the streets are deserted like they are in a movie. It's a positive and a negative anytime you have a location that's being exposed to, you know, the masses and makes them want to come there. Because in a way, yes, it brings in, you know, economic boom. So there is work for the locals and playing. But at the same time, if it's such a small location and also it's not the most accessible from all sides, is only certain ways you can get to the Amalfi Coast, it also creates a lot of strain on the local economy, right?
So I guess we should discuss the downsides of these sort of TV shows and movies that romanticize a lot of these locations, especially in Italy. You know, there's going to definitely be the downside of, you know, over tourism, right? You'll see a huge influx of people, more so than there already are, visiting the Amalfi Coast and those locations, right? So, you know, you'll see that increase. The locals aren't going to be too happy about, you know, all these additional, you know, tourists trampling through their streets and going, you know, and a lot of the areas when you're walking through the streets in the Amalfi Coast are actually private residences, right? So a lot of tourists probably don't even pay attention to a lot of many of the signs that are put up in Italian that mention it was private property, avoid entering, etc. So, you know, there'll probably be a lot of that going on too, right?
And I think it also creates more traffic, right? Because the road, it's just got one lane each way, right? So there's one way, one lane, and then there's one lane going the other way. So now if you have more cars, it's going to take you a long time to get even a little bit, right? And do you remember when we were there the first time, like many, many years ago? It wasn't as busy because remember we were able to just kind of like pull over in one of those little small spots that they have that you can sort of park on. I don't think I see those spots as much now, or they're not as accessible as they were back in those days. And again, you can't just, you know, pull up and park your car and then just take some pictures because there's a lot of cars behind you and there's a lot of cars coming at you, which makes it very dangerous to even like try to find parking, especially if you're not familiar with the area. And there's the buses that are coming across, and those are pretty scary too. It's not just the strain on the locals and the cost that it takes now for you to go to Amalfi Coast. It's a lot higher than might have been back in the day, right? It's something to keep in mind. So having said all that, should you come to the Amalfi Coast? I think you definitely should come to the Amalfi Coast because it's probably one of the best, the most scenic routes and scenic destinations that I've come across. And we personally love Amalfi Coast. I go there all the time. But, you know, there are some tips I think we can offer anybody coming to Italy and coming specifically to the Amalfi Coast. And my first thought is don't get sucked into the whole cinematic, you know, dream. What you see in the movies or TV is not always accurate. So, you know, do your research, do some more checking online, whether it's blogs or guidebooks, some other YouTube videos to see what the place actually looks like. So your expectations are a bit more realistic, and don't just look at one place. There's like 13 towns on the Amalfi Coast, which there's a lot to see, right?
And I think you should consider looking at certain times of the year to visit, right? We obviously want to try and avoid the high season in the summer, right? Because, you know, of course, it's going to be extremely hot. Amalfi Coast gets sweltering hot during the summer. So, you know, maybe consider the fall or even early spring, right? Before the influx of tourists. Obviously, there's always going to be tourists. It's Italy after all, right? But yeah, that's probably one of the, you know, top recommendations that I would have for any visitor to the Amalfi Coast. And I guess the other item that you want to consider is traveling to that area, right? Consider maybe renting a car if you want to trek up to the Amalfi Coast and you're not afraid of winding roads. You definitely want to, you know, rent a car. And if you enjoy the, you know, driving in these curvy mountainous roads, then you'd probably want to consider that. There is the other options. You know, you can take the bus if you want to avoid driving. And maybe one of the, you know, most underrated ways to get there is using the ferry, just leaving from Naples and just sit back and relax, enjoy the view, enjoy the, you know, the ferry ride over and visiting the islands or the adjacent islands and, you know, Amalfi also using the ferry, and it's pretty cost effective.
Yeah, I think seeing Amalfi Coast from a boat is a very unreal experience. It just looks even more magical than it does like when you're on the ground. So where should you stay? My personal pet peeve is when people say, oh, I've been to Amalfi Coast and I went to Positano and Sorrento. Those are my favorites. And, you know, like I said, there's 13 towns in the Amalfi Coast and Sorrento is not one of them. It's something that I think most people assume that it's in Amalfi Coast because it's adjacent. So you could stay in Sorrento. Sorrento is also a pretty place. It's a very, you know, picturesque. You could stay in Sorrento. You can stay in Salerno. Those are the two kind of bookends to the Amalfi Coast. You could stay in Naples as well. And you can take a ferry into the Amalfi Coast. So the bigger towns like Amalfi, Maiori, even Positano, they have ferry ports. So you can take the ferry between the different towns, which again is quicker, and you don't have to be driving all those big roads. You can also choose to stay in the Amalfi Coast. We always stay in Maiori because again, it's easier for us to get there with the car because the way we come there. But again, if you stay sort of on the edge of the Amalfi Coast, whether it's Positano or whatever it's from Maiori, you can stay in that area and A, it'll be cheaper, be less tourists, well, maybe less international tourists, but you'll have a bit more of an authentic experience. And then you can take the ferry to Positano, to Amalfi, which are very popular and everybody goes there, right? So everybody from the tour, I think there's the cruise ships that come, they always go to those places and it's super packed.
Probably one of the other recommendations I've got for, you know, your visit to the Amalfi Coast is actually visiting some of the smaller villages, right? Like Kasia mentioned, you know, we enjoy going to Maiori as our, you know, kind of our base. It's one of the less, I guess, frequented areas, even though you'll still see tons of people during the summer. But there's gorgeous views of the coast from there. And it's, like I said, it's a good spot to set up base and visit the other towns. There's Cittara, which is a really nice scenic town, Vetri sul Mare, and there's also Erki, which is also a nice town to visit. And each of those towns have their own specialties, right? Like, for example, Cittara has the anchovies, which are fantastic. They're well known for that anchovy dish. There's, you know, there's actually multiple ways that they make it, but it's usually almost pickled, right? They get fresh anchovies, clean them up, put them on the plate, and I think they put some lemon, olive oil, and some local spices on it, and it's, you know, it's a great dish to try. And like I said, each town has its own specialties. There's even high-end pastry shops, like for example in Maiori, you'll find the Sal de Riso pastry chef. He has a shop there that's very high-end. If you want to try the area specialty, it's actually a well-known in all of Campania, but they're made with Sorrento lemon, so you'll need to try the delizie, which is cream filled pastry, which is, you know, fantastic. You know, you just need to have one of those and you'll be good for the day.
And we should mention that when Stanley Tucci was filming his Searching for Italy, he came to the Naples area and he came to the Amalfi Coast. So he did go, I forget the restaurant's name, but he did go. And one of the other specialties that they had there was that spaghetti al nerano, which is spaghetti with zucchini, which was one of my favorite dishes. I really enjoy it. Again, you know, Amalfi Coast is known for the limoncello, which is made from the lemons from Sorrento. And the Sorrento lemons are very big and kind of lumpy looking and very kind of ugly. And it's actually interesting that Amalfi Coast specialty is the limoncello, but Sorrento, like I said, is not part of the Amalfi Coast. But anyway, that's a little fun little trivia for you. And it's important to mention that there are a lot of orange and lemon groves, and a lot of people might be tempted to just kind of try to get in there. Don't do it. It's dangerous because they are on terraces, and also did someone's houses, right? They have very interesting vegetables growing on these trellises and stuff, and you know, that's their farming, that's their vegetable thing. So make sure you don't try to, you know, go off the beaten track when you shouldn't be going and damaging people's properties and their vegetable gardens or whatever, just to take a picture. I think, you know, having respect for the local fauna and flora is also important when you go there. So again, don't litter on the beach and don't throw your garbage around.
Hopefully our recommendations for visiting the Amalfi Coast come in handy, because it's one of our favorite places in Italy. It's the beauty's underrated. I don't think you'll find many, many other places that are as gorgeous or as scenic as the Amalfi Coast. So I'm hoping that these specific items that we outlined to help you out on your trip.
Amalfi Coast is definitely one of the places I think anybody traveling to Italy should visit. And I agree with you. It's probably one of my favorite places in Italy as well. And we haven't really touched upon all the single towns that are here because, like as I said, there's 13 of them. Again, just to summarize, if you come off season, you are going to have a much better experience. We've been to the Amalfi Coast even like beginning of November and there were still lots of tourists. It's still nice and warm. So you're not really missing out on the warm weather, the greenery. Spring is a beautiful time to come as well. So plan your trip with that in mind, and I think you have a much better experience. We'll leave some links in the show notes to help you plan your trip. And yeah, we hope you come to the Amalfi Coast and have a great experience while you're there. And this brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review on whatever you're listening right now. We'll be back next week, so stay tuned.